Far across the land and sea, Utu, Utu B, Aguna. 5,000 miles away, a few Arsenal Bangalore fans come together to discuss all things Arsenal. Welcome to the Bangalore Gooners podcast.
Hey guys, so welcome to another episode of the Bangalore Gooners podcast. We've been doing a lot of streaming or discussions during the games, post games and pre-match stuff. You can catch all those things on YouTube. We are planning to go live on different social media platforms. Today we have Jomi, Vinay, Kirti, Elroy with us today. So we're gonna discuss about mainly about contractual situations because recently we've had a great news of Saka extending, and just as we started recording this, we were informed about Martinelli extending. So we will get there. But first, I want to start off by asking you guys about Mikel Arteta. So if you guys remember, the first episode of our podcast was Arsenal under Arteta. So how he would, you know, turn up, how he would impose his style on the team, and how it all turned out, how it would turn out. So it's been around 6 months. He's in charge. A lot of things have happened. You know, the world has come to a standstill. And luckily, Premier League football has resumed. We lost our way in the first two away games, and now we have won back-to-back games. So I want to start off by asking you guys, how do you feel the 6 months under Arteta has been? Just your plain observations.
Mixed feelings, if I can start. So mixed feelings. I mean, mixed feelings because I understand that it's less time for a new person to come in, and especially somebody to start off his managerial career, right? Especially with the situation that the club was in. I think he had a okay start. I think he's picked up. The lockdown seems to have helped Arteta a lot. I do not know about others' views on it, but I feel he had time to analyze what's been working for him. What changes can he bring to the team? What kind of playing style he can bring to the team? So I have seen a change, not because we've won games off late, but definitely he's trying a lot of changes, good or bad, that we will know next season, because I'm going to only judge Arteta next season. But what's very positive from my end is not just the playing, right? I always say football is not just about what happens on the pitch, what happens off the pitch. And I feel he is trying to take a lot of control at the club, not what Emery was doing. Emery was probably just looking to look at the footballing side of things, and he wanted others to manage the off footballing things. Maybe he had his targets in place, but he kind of wanted to do only what had to work on the pitch. But Arteta seems to be like that person who wants to get involved. I do not know if that's one of the reasons why he agreed to join too. We might never know that, right? My understanding from what I look at things is he is trying to take a lot of good control, a lot of positive changes, trying to get the right resources to get their contract extensions, and also working on new contracts and new signings, which is awesome. So overall, it's a mixed feeling. Still a long way to go from a footballing terms.
Yeah, interesting. Others want to weigh in your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll jump in. So again, you see the improvement with regards to the way that we've been defending as well, right? If you look at our record since 2020, of all the games that we played, I think we played 12 games in Premier League, out of which 6 we won, 4 we drew, and 2 we lost. And the 2 that we lost was just after the restart happened. And that just read that when I looked at it, that was the third best performance by a team in Premier League after City and Liverpool. Shows that consistency is needed, and I think We might have drew a couple of games just because of individual mistakes, but I think according to me, we're on the right track. He's not going to have immediate impact because the players are still the same. We did have a new set of people coming in, but again, they weren't fit enough to start or have immediate impact. But I think we are moving in the right direction. And I think given enough time, a couple of transfer windows, I think we should be easily be in the top four and performing well.
Yeah, so the style of play, like you mentioned, so I also read something, a statistic that says we are somewhere down the bottom of the clubs that have conceded goals from open play, and our area of concern seems to be from the set pieces. So I am not entirely sure if we were very good at, you know, defending set pieces before Arteta arrived, but that seems to be an area of concern. And do you think that is an area of area that Arteta should be looking at and is looking at?
So if I think set pieces has always been an Achilles heel for Arsenal in general, like right from Wenger's time, Emery's time, and Arteta, you can say as of now, has inherited that of us. Like, you know, it has all our set pieces have always been our, but as of now, I think this season it will be a bit difficult considering the squad that he has already inherited. But like, you know, if you see, there is a lot of prior talk about Arteta working at City that he used to take set pieces very seriously. He was in charge of the set pieces while attacking as well as defending, and he used to prepare for those quite meticulously. So it will be interesting to see next season, maybe when he has the right personnel in defense, the right people that he wants, if we can improve on that. But as of now, this entire season so far for me is like a pre-season for him. So I'll give him that. But overall, it seems that he has improved us a bit in terms of defense. If you see, I don't know what the stats say, but it seems like we are a bit better. We still concede that occasional one goal in the game or whatever, but we seem to be a bit better under Arteta. But let's see how he finishes off this.
Vinay, your thoughts?
Well, I think I have to be the dampener in the optimism, right? Most of the times. Maybe I'm the more pragmatic and the more realistic views. I'll answer the first one that we were discussing and I had to be on and off. One is, have we revived under Mikel? I think that is what you're trying to ask. Simple answer, no. Three games is not an indicator. Let's wait. He's making all the right noises. There is absolutely no doubt about that. He's saying the right things. And there is no doubt that he has a vision. And that's a good start. You know what you're trying to achieve and you're clear about it. And so far in his very short stint, he's also shown us that he's not the Arsene Wenger that we thought he may turn out to be, very nice to his players and all that. He seems to be much more ruthless, which is what we've been crying out, or at least I've been crying out for. In terms of defense, as Elroy rightly mentioned, set pieces are a headache for us in more ways than one. It's not a natural thing. Defending is a very natural art. You have defenders, and I would just like to take this moment to say that this was the day we signed probably our best centre-back in the last two decades. Yeah, at least in the last 20 years. Sol Campbell was signed today. So these are the things. These are proper defenders we are talking of. Very natural defenders. Arsenal need to find somebody like that. And until and unless we have that, you have defenders who are basically who don't like to defend, if I can say that. David Luiz is not a defender. Socrates was a good defender. He's no longer one. We are all hoping that Holding can stay fit. And if he does, he seems to be someone who enjoys defending. He doesn't want to do anything else. So that is what you need. When I say a proper defender, it means I just want to defend. I don't want to join attacks. I don't want to even get into trying to dribble out of positions and all that. I just want to be a defender. I want to defend. If Mikel can get that, and especially the second ball, That's very crucial. Second ball is where we struggle. It's not the first. You can see millions of videos of Arsenal. You will notice that we clear the first cross or we clear the first set piece. It's the second ball. It's as if I'm done with my duty. Now you take over. That's it. So this is more about concentration. And unless you have a proper center back, you will not get it. So this is going to continue until and unless you have defenders just defending, nothing else.
Yeah. So for any coach, I think there will be a few things that he has to use to work with. Say one is the squad that he inherits, as someone rightly pointed out. Second thing is, imposing his style of play, his philosophy on the players that are there when he comes in. And third one is looking outside of the club for players who he, think might help the squad. So one of the things that Wenger used to always say was, we have a bunch of players and if any exceptional talent comes in, only then we would sign. Because he always believed in those he had, or maybe he was, trying to protect the club, not having the financial resources. So, in a recent interview, Mikel pointed out saying he was aware of the situation that is happening. I mean, that is at the club, and he also mentioned that the club knows his plan. So, whatever his plans are, we've had some great news in Bukayo Saka extending his contract, be it right after a whirlwind season that he has had. And also, just moments ago, it was Gabriel Martinelli. So, my question here is, so these two are exceptional talents, very young in terms of their footballing age, just starting off, if you can call that. So, they have brought into the philosophy of what Arteta is trying to do. So how do you, what do you think of that in terms of how important it is for the players to buy into the philosophy and, commit to the club? Because at this moment, Arsenal are, languishing at the bottom of the table, bottom of the, the first half of the table, if I can call that. So even in such a situation, if players can commit to the club, what does that say of the philosophy of the manager?
I think when Pepe, I think in the same interview, Arteta did mention that at City, Pepe did take one season for him to gain the confidence of the whole team in whatever he wanted to achieve at the team and as well as the philosophy, right? I think Arteta being a first-time manager and with all the thoughts and all the creative mind that comes along with it, right? It would be critical for people to know what he's capable of and how he's going to handle people and do it. The credibility that he brings in is mainly when Pep end up giving him the assistant role, right? And so I think from that perspective, he does know what he's doing. And people might have big heads on their shoulders thinking that some things won't work and some things might not work. And what he pointed out in the same interview is that people need to buy into that. And if people aren't buying in and working together, you don't work as a cohesive team. And you start looking at in different directions and concentration is lost and people don't perform for the team. I think a couple of players are in that situation right now. And those are the ones that are getting dropped with regards to their attitude as well as the way they might be behaving. And I think he's not scared to go ahead and do that. Totally understand with regards to him supporting them, also telling that if they end up taking that as a whole team and provided that the shape allows them to play, he will play them again. But then again, overall, I think people buying into the philosophy is critical because he's the one deciding the plan over the next couple of years to know who to bring in and who's going to play where.
Just adding in, Kirti, if at all you're talking about one particular individual.
No, I'm talking about Guendouzi, not the other one.
The other one. the other one who we all know, the elephant in the room, all it needed was to buy a Volini or Iodex. He doesn't need anything else. It's just a back strain for 3 years. Anyways, I think I'll take just that one line from what you said. I agree. But I also wanted to throw in the mix about all the Saka and Martinelli signings, which is good news. There's no doubt about that. I'll throw in the name in terms of the defending and also ask if you're looking at philosophies and buy-ins and all that. And I agree, Mikel seems to be very clear on what he wants to achieve here. And that's very, very important. There is no doubt about that. Here is the name, Thiago Silva. Supposedly, he's being touted now that he's on free transfer and we are in a position to go ahead and get somebody. If I throw in that name, and remember, we have a 33-year-old again in David Luiz who is already signed the contract. Would someone take Thiago Silva? Will he buy into Mikel Arteta's philosophy? Remember, he is what I term a proper defender.
Yeah, do you think David Luiz would help in luring him in?
I think that's a part of his contract.
Based on one of the conversations we had, the number of defenders we have in our team is pretty heavy. I think 8 center backs right now or something. I understand Silva brings in the quality. Silva knows what he does, and I think according to me, he's past his prime, and I don't want to have 2 or 3 defenders in the same age range. We need to have a good combination of someone who's more senior and also have a junior who's working along with him. I look at Sergio Ramos and Varane playing that way, right? And if you look at all the good teams that end up having a good pairing, you end up having a senior with someone who's still fresh. They gel along, and after that, once the other person moves on, this next person carries on. I think that continuity is critical, and I think I want to look at that rather than actually see Silva. And I think that's my thought. Again, no doubts about his quality and what he can bring in, but might not be the right choice for us according to defense right now.
So just on that Silva piece, right? I mean, I think to be fair to him, he's got his share of injuries, but other than that, amazing player to have. But Vinay, I don't see us having a place for him. Like Kirti was saying, we are overloaded, right, with defenders right now, and I see a few of them getting sold this summer. Just going back to that old that topic of we saying we have issues from set pieces. Maybe that's the reason why Arteta wants to have little tall folks at the back, I think that's what he's going to do next season. So let's see. But I don't see any great signings for centre back anymore. I seriously doubt it, unless we are selling a lot more people.
I think the only reason is the free transfer part. Other than that, I know there is not much of this one. The only reason I think Thiago Silva comes into picture is one, proven credentials, and the leadership qualities. But yeah, I don't see it. I was just throwing in a name. I'm not saying or suggesting that he may come in. But it was in regards to what Anjan was talking about in two questions. One, the reason that our defense sucks, which continues to. And then also in terms of the philosophy and the buy-in, do we do a mix of experience and youngsters? The youngsters seems to be settled. We are signing, are getting people to sign for us for long-term contract, which is a great thing. Now, are we mixing it with experience? That was my whole intention. Thiago Silva is just a name. How about we talk about a person who is asking for just 250,000 a week and 3 years? Stress on the 3 years, our L captain. I hope Vivek was there on the call, and he will say if we are willing to pay 500 for Alexis and 350 for Ozil, let's just stick to Aubameyang.
Yeah, I was about to. Anyway, so about we will get into individuals, but before that, so again in the part of the interview, there were discussions about how certain individuals, agents specifically, influenced the deals. So what are your thoughts on agents playing a role in who we have signed recently? So we have discussed about how Wenger was sort of allergic to agents, and that is why all those we were this close to signing so-and-so player did not go through, mainly because of, you know, issues with agents and whatnot. So how much do you think, how much of a factor do you guys think are agents playing their roles now that there's a change of leadership at the top? And in the interview, if you go by what Arteta says, he is very firm on what his ideologies are. He says only when I say that you can, give a go, you know, green signal, only then the management tends to approve the signing, even though all the discussions would have happened. So what do you guys think about that?
I'd like to think. I think, see, when it comes to agents, that story has been blown out of proportion because of certain elements. Like, we know that the David Luiz is one. And second was, a lot of people questioned the fact that Suarez, who had not played a single game, got a four-year deal. And the fact that some of our dealings involved, you know, it was made quite well known that suddenly he is known to be in good terms with the agent. So people have, I feel that media have blown that out of proportion to quite a bit. Now, people are looking at it in the wrong way mainly because of, as I said, Luis and Suarez. But that doesn't mean that dealing with these agents is always a bad thing. Like, we have the example that has come up recently about Wolves, where Jorge Mendes is the one who's brought them a lot of good players. And maybe the some of these agents, but then you see that through our agent connections, we've ended up getting someone like Pepe also. So the jury is still out for me. You know, maybe this summer we'll get to know better, more about it. But I just feel that in general, people have made a bigger deal than it is with regards to these agents and our contact. And that is, as I said again, it's because of these two elements that have been there.
I think there needs to be a little bit of a history about why in terms of the agents and the aversion we've had. It's simply because one man was there for 20 years and people, he felt it was more a human element involved. So there was a lot of involvement of families, Arsene going and meeting parents, trying to convince them, getting them to the colony. There was a lot of personal connect, and I keep reiterating this, that a lot of people signed for Wenger rather than Arsenal, and that's not a good thing. How much ever I love Arsene, Arsenal will always be bigger. But that was it. There was a human element, and Wenger always had this feeling that, look, if I cannot convince that player to play for this club or for me, then what would an agent do? And that's just a waste of money, paying him whatever. It was, at least for Arsene, till the almost the end, a big success, that attitude and approach. But then towards the later part, we started realizing that agents are super agents, as they are called now. They influence these signings far bigger than even Wenger, and to an extent, Ferguson also initially detested these guys, right? They said, Jorge Mendes, I mean, Ferguson said, I don't want to see him ever near the club. But he did lose the likes of Beckham, Van Nistelrooy, and even Ronaldo leaving for Real. There was an agent involvement in all these things. The agent had already committed that Ronaldo will join Real at least two seasons prior. It was only the persuasion that led him to stay for another season. But it was known, open secret. But now the reality is these are the super agents who are running football clubs almost. So you have to deal with them. There is no other go. there is no manager. I think probably you could say, who would a player want to come and play for? Pep, Klopp. That's about it. I think Simeone, maybe the Argentinian guys or the Spanish guys may want to play for him. That style, but that's about it. So agents are there. Agents are real. You have to pay huge chunks of money to get a deal done. I think I would love to see how a contract actually looks with all those perks included for these agents. I believe some of them ask for fancy yachts and I don't know, casinos, whatnot they have asked, I believe. These are all things I have read. It may be far from truth. But Arsenal need to deal with it. They have now got a battery of people who are working behind doors to get these agents on their side. Kia, Mendes, everybody, whoever you need to sign now. Tomorrow, if we need to get Thomas Partey in, is there, I don't know. I have never understood this three-party involvement. There is an agency involved. Makes me wonder, is this a recruitment firm or, I don't know, a football club at times. They say, no, there's a third party. You have to pay them their fee and this fee and that fee. So it's very complicated. But hopefully the negotiations are limited to negotiations and not haggling. If Arsenal want deals to be done, they need to do it very quickly.
So that was about agents. And Vinay mentioned about doing the deals quickly. So we seem to have wrapped up, a couple of deals, the youngster signing. So what is the difference that you guys think? So the core here is buying into the philosophy, right? So what difference or how much of a difference do you guys think is it for a player like someone like a Saka or a Martinelli who are, just youngsters starting off and playing for a big club like Arsenal and signing, a long-term contract versus someone like an Oba who is probably nearing his end of, top flight football, if I can say that. I hope he plays for a very long time. So that's my question. How much of a difference is it for someone like an established world-class striker, if I can say that, versus these youngsters to buy into the philosophy, thereby, committing to the club?
So, I think I'll take that. So, Anjan, so there are different ways, right? In today's world, I don't think there's any more of dedication to the club, the love for the club and things like that. Saka, yes, he signed the contract. He talked about how things been when he was way young. He saw Welsh's photos all across the training and whatnot, right? Then you have Martinelli, future. Always great to have those kind of characters at the club. So that's one part of it. Now, you want them to sign into the club traditions and stuff like that. That's what I think you were trying to say. That's one piece. Then you have characters like Oba. They've proved in so many places. So you're trying to get the last good juice out of them at your club if you sign them. So those are the characters like Oba. So that's what probably City did. I don't know a lot of people who joined City when they started the build, right? Even like for Chelsea for that matter. But Chelsea was much earlier, so football was a lot different. But the likes of City, PSGs and one and stuff, who trying to build that new kind of football with money and power. I don't know if those players come in because they love the club, they love the city. They just come in for the money, right? So, but they come, they do their job and they go back home. And just like a professional job, they're just worried about the salary that they get. They do a good job. And those clubs do well. So I think it's a mixture. You still need to have likes of I don't know. In today's world, I don't want to say totty and all, but maybe the boy that hit the penalty for Real Madrid yesterday, Ramos, right? You would want characters like them also in your club. They die for your club. A lot of talk's been said over the years that he's going to leave, but he still stayed on. And I don't want to digress, but the defender was playing more like a forward in the game yesterday because he desperately wanted his team to win and probably win the league this season, which is almost done. So, yeah, you definitely need those kind of characters too. So it's a mix. You want people who will buy into the idea of the club and also ones who will take a good pay and then do a wonderful job.
Continuing on to what Jomi told, right, I would still look at it from a perspective of seeing that youngsters come looking for game time. More seasoned people already have proven their worth before they come in. So for them, it is just showcasing their skills and trying to win games and actually get better contracts or get more fandom so that they can actually start doing things after their career, right? But for youngsters who are there at any club, right, first thing that they're looking for is game time. Provided that they get enough games, they will end up staying on and they will end up knowing that this club gives them enough game time to play and trust in them, right? I think that's where having those bunch of few guys who start off in their teenagers to actually end up till mid-20s to stay in the same club, having proper game time is critical. Not all of them turn out to be good. Again, we looked at someone like Alex Iwobi, who was playing for us maybe from at the age of 20 or something, was on and off, on and off. There was no in-between games. It was either too bad or maybe one game he's just very good. Again, the consistency was not there. I think something that we need to look for is that kind of skill which might be there. And having seen both the youngsters sign in shows us that we are going to trust in youngsters and make sure that at least one or two of them stay for long term and end up showing the potential that they always have. Each and every season, we talk about a lot of youngsters coming in telling that, okay, he has the potential to do it, he has the potential to do it. But none of them have ended up turning up and doing that for us over the past couple of decades. Apart from one or two here and there. But until and unless we find that person who's going to do it for us like that, it's always going to be a point where we need to look outside to get in actually and start turning the person who can turn matches and or save us the matches that are meant to lose or meant to win.
Just three names you mentioned, Anjan, and I'll answer all three why they signed. Saka signed because it's Arsenal and game time. Martinelli signed because he bought into the philosophy that Edu and Arteta have sold him. Aubameyang hopefully signs for his one last big contract because a person at 30, if he gets a three-year contract, that's a big thing. So I think these are the only three reasons each three of them, hopefully Aubameyang as well, signs. Because loyalty, as I told you, is no longer there in football. Let's not even get into that.
Yeah, so that was a word I wanted to use. Loyalty. Sorry. Yes. It's no more. No more there. Loyalty is not there. I mean, very few people left who have it, but it's no more with a larger group.
And to add to Johnny's point, a player that has just made the transfer, you can say, is Sané, who came to City, did his job for like 3 or 4 years and has gone back to Germany. Got his bumper pay and, you know, back to his hometown. Going to be like the trend of transfers now where people are going to come. They'll make a way they can get paid more. They'll do their job and that's going to be something that we have to get used to.
True. And just one deviation to this discussion about Arsenal. Jomi, the league is still not wrapped in the Spanish league, and let's cross everything that Real wins it this time, please. I hate those Barcelona, whatever they're called, shit.
Let's not talk about it. Four points is a big thing, right, at this stage for them. So, let's see.
Yeah,
Keith, you want to say something?
No, that's all I had with regards to those points.
The word loyalty, Vinay, I'll pick something that you mentioned about Arteta, Saka saying, come on, it's Arsenal, right? So, I mean, these youngsters are, you know, they are, they've been with the club starting from their under eight group where they played. So, again, there are two things. One is the philosophy of the club. So Arsenal has its own philosophy. And again, the coach coming in would just impose his playing style. But he himself has to, you know, get into the, or buy into the club's philosophy. And so when you mentioned that loyalty is no more a thing, what do you have to say about youngsters feeling? I mean, I know it's just a phrase, something that has come out of a heart for a kid like Saka when he says, come on, it's Arsenal. But do you think somewhere, you know, those kind of feelings are still there amongst people, amongst football players?
So it's
absolutely
obvious, right?
Anjan, don't
Yeah, sorry, Vinay.
Let's not make that. Let's never have the second thought that we are still a big club. It is Arsenal, as Saka said. Yes, we may have digressed. We may have. We are not. We were never elite. It's we Arsenal fans who make ourselves feel like we are elite. We are not, but we are still a very big club. And there are a lot of factors that go into it, and especially the most appropriate thing that we keep talking about is history, class, and tradition. I think it is very, very, how would I say that? Fancy words for a lot, but at least with Arsenal, it resonates. Arsenal is a big club, and there are quite a number of footballers. May not be the top cream, or like, say, the Messi's, Ronaldo's, Lewandowski's, or the Aguero kind of players who may want to come and play for us. But still, it's a big draw. It's London. It's Arsenal. It's a lot of game time. It's very properly brought up club. It's a value that everyone would want to be. It's like the perfect club. To a lot of extent, I think Amy Lawrence had a photo today on Twitter where she said it is the entry of the famed marble entrance of the Emirates, and she says nothing ever comes close to this in any football club anywhere in the world. And she is a writer, as you all know, for years and years. There is the tradition, there is the class about how we conduct ourselves. So make no bones about it. Arsenal is still a huge draw for a lot of people.
So I was just going to add something before Vinay. I mean, I know it was for Vinay the topic, but what I wanted to say was, let's not forget. Yes, the club is big. There's no doubt about it. We're not doing great, but we're still big. We still have potential to get back to winning terms, maybe not win league, but we can still compete and then probably look at winning. Now, Saka, he can say all that he wants to, the love for the club and whatnot. I, for one, do not take all these things that are said a lot because for me, I feel these are all publicity. A lot of work goes behind from the social media wing. So they hype it, and that's what fans want to see. They buy into that, and it sells, which is awesome. Because the reality is, if he was not given enough playing time, I don't think he would have signed for us. Let's be very honest, right? Imagine he had a couple of good games, but there was someone else who was always starting. And in that situation, irrespective of how much love he has for the club, he wouldn't have signed. It's a possibility he wouldn't have signed. It's all ifs and buts, but it's a reality that because he is getting quality time, he's able to start, and he's been promised a lot of starting time next season too, right? Or the seasons to come. So he has that opportunity to grow. And if that was not given, I don't think he would have signed.
And we have a kid who doesn't want to sign a new contract for the exact reason that Tommy, as you mentioned, he knows that there is a lot of competition ahead of him. And he has said that he's not going to sign the new contract. So it all depends on individual case. So Saka is the one who has benefited from this. Someone like Balogun is not, and that's the reason why he's moving. So yeah, that loyalty is not there anymore. And it's mainly about every player's individual benefit right now.
See, but also you need to understand that him being at a spot where he thinks he can grow, but if he's not given enough game time, he might not have the right part to grow as well, right? So selfishness, yes, it is part of being selfish to grow. But if you know that you're not going to get an opportunity, why not go look elsewhere? So if you look at someone like Sancho, who left City and now has been playing so well for Dortmund, right? He knew that he couldn't get into the front three of City. So he decided to go there. But now everyone in the Premier League wants to get him. I think fair enough if someone goes ahead and does good job outside. But most of the time, everything with these youngsters is that, yes, they show promise in the lower leagues. But once they see the pace as well as the actual game time needed for you, the fitness needed for you during all these games is seen. You see them start crumbling and start having a lot of injuries. And again, some of them are unfortunate with regards to injuries that didn't mean to happen. But overall, I think it's up to the person to decide whether they want to stay or not. And they have to find the best way how they can succeed. And then they have to do it mainly because after a few years, this is their livelihood, right? They don't have anything else they can do apart from this.
True. I mean, well said, Kirti. So I'm going to pitch in as a host for a few minutes because Anjan had to drop. Probably what we want to discuss is what can we look forward to, right? What can we look forward to in the summer? What do you think Arteta is going to bring in? He's given some hints. Do you who do you think is going to be probably dropped or sold, and what kind of players can you expect in the summer? Silence says you guys are still confused.
I'll start maybe. Okay, let me start with what I feel is the priority would be. I think we need two midfielders. More even before defender, we need two midfielders. Like two energetic, two good, strong central midfielders are a must. And like mainly, I would say one maybe a box-to-box energetic midfielder and one person who's quite creative and again energetic because two number eight, that is what we need because our midfield right now is really, really bad and we need an upgrade over that. That would be my priority over getting the back.
Yeah, so for the others, right? So that talk of Torreira and Guendouzi probably being sold. Xhaka, yes, he's doing a wonderful job. But do you think he is the future? Because probably one more season from him. Do you guys see a lot more seasons where he is able to do that role for Arsenal? And if he is not, then we definitely need other players to come in. Because today, we have Xhaka and Ceballos starting, and let's be honest, one of them is not there next season. So, and one is getting a year older. So, the midfield is again going to be very tricky. And I don't know if I'm sure Arteta is thinking about it. But what are your thoughts? And I'm a little confused as to why we have to give Torreira and Guendouzi off if that's going to happen.
As Eldra mentioned, right, we need to look people that are going to fit into this role, right, Tommy? Guendouzi hangs on to the ball way too much, even when there is pressure on him and tries to wait for the touch and falls. And most of the time when that happens, the referees don't give him the decision on that side and we are left hanging, looking at a huge counter for the opposition to play. So someone who knows how to hold the ball, someone who knows how to carried forward at times and not just try to look for the touch and then pass it backwards is critical. And I think that is what we need to look for. And I think that's the reason why we appreciate what Xhaka does for us, because his passing range is a little better compared to who we have. Torreira, I think, is more of the defensive midfielder that we need. We have seen glimpses of him doing well in some of the games, but injuries haven't favored his cause, right? Because he's been trying to get proper game time under Emery for no reason at all. He used to play at CAM and then we used to be in the box every now and then. But if used properly, I think I see only Guendouzi going out and maybe two midfielders coming in. And I don't see Saboya having an extension with regards to his contract or maybe as another loan deal. But I just see one person, two people coming in, maybe might be a youngster and as well as Thomas Partey, because we've been linked so much with him that now everyone expects us to get him. Maybe we might not have the finance to get him, but unless someone is sold for us to push that release clause of 40 million that is requested.
Yeah, so I have a few points to make here. So one thing about selling players, right? So yeah, I understand that, you know, as part of philosophy, you need to you know, be disciplined, follow whatever rules that are set by the coach. But when it comes to the playing, the playing or the capacity or capabilities of the player, so one of the things like someone like Guendouzi is always criticized of is you know, he is you know, always looking sideways. He does that. He doesn't do this enough, and so on. So what are your thoughts on you know, the coach helping out his players to improve, you know, go to the next level or at least better than what they are? Because someone like Mustafi, for all the criticism that was laid on him, things were, so he has shown some sort of maturity in realizing his limitations, you know, assessing his strengths or weaknesses, whatever those are, and sort of, you know, keeping it tight, if not for extraordinary performances every game. He drops in a 6.57 every game since Arteta took over. So what is stopping the coach or the club from helping out players, you know, fall in line rather than, you know, I mean, I don't know how much of keeping them out of squads for, you know, continuous back-to-back consecutive games works out. But I feel that is not the right way, and that leads to them being sold without giving a chance, without them being given a chance.
So, see, in terms of Guendouzi, at least, if you're talking, I feel what Arteta has done is the right thing. See, there were two reasons. One is they have said that he had some kind of disciplinary issues in him, which is, but we don't know. I mean, personally, I don't think that what he did to Mope was the only reason that Arteta has, you know, pinned him right now. It definitely something has happened behind the scenes that we are not aware of. And at the end of the day, if you see, as I had mentioned a couple of podcasts before, Peter Cech said that Arsenal dressing room didn't feel the same like how it was at Chelsea. You know, as Jesse, he said, when they lost, it felt like a funeral. So, sir, I mean, this is just one aspect of it. The thing is, Arsenal team in general has not had the discipline level that would be needed in this dressing room. So, these are certain ways that maybe Arteta is taking these steps to implement these. It's a long-term process. And it's going to start with such small steps. Like, you can see maybe, you know, Ozil, what is happening, or with Guendouzi. And if you see the other examples, you can see that Arteta did something similar with Ceballos. When he was back from his injury, 2-3 times he mentioned it in public. Ceballos needs to train more. He needs to do better. Ceballos came out from the pitch and he responded well. And now look at him. He's playing well. Similar thing with Pepe also. Pepe, Arteta mentioned it quite a few times that Pepe needs to defend more. He needs to pass more. He needs to do more. And he came out on the pitch and he has it. So I see Arteta is doing a similar thing So it is like you follow my path to accept what I'm looking for, and you will play. I will give you a second chance. If you do not, that's it. You're not going to feature. And as you said, Mustafi, he's another person. Arteta said, you come and stay here. Whoever is going to be in my squad will get a clean slate before even Luis, Socrates, or any of the other defenders. And even if they have plans of selling him right now, the thing is, by playing him and him putting on these good performances, we have increased his value. So there are a lot of aspects which, you know, there are some things which I can see that Arteta maybe has a plan with the way.
From a perspective of what we are looking at it is, let's look forward to one more contract, which everyone's hoping for, and then close out the season on a high note, maybe win the FA Cup, and then look forward to the next season. So I think based off that, last thoughts from Jomi and Anjan.
I mean, I am good, right, for today's talk that we did, right? I mean, see, at the end of the day, we all have to be very honest. I know we all been watching this for a long, long time. It's definitely not the same old Arsenal, but we always have that hope, and that hope is what a football fan should have. We need to be excited for next season. There's no doubt about it. And I think there are a lot of good things happening. There's a lot of things that's happening. And let's take the positive out of it. We have a game tomorrow. And hopefully all these new extensions, all the new transfer news are definitely going to bring in a lot of joy to everyone.
So, like Kiti said, there has to be something to look forward to. And it has been a great week for Arsenal. What with the wins and all that, and the contract extensions made it better. But like Kiti said, if we are to, I mean, we are humans, we have to look forward to something. And one possible extension is something I think we're looking for, looking forward for. And maybe with a cup win, that would make it much more sweeter. I know the world has been going through a lot of stuff. So in terms of that, I hope all those things happen, and which will be a huge morale booster going into the next season. So that was me signing off. So thank you guys for joining in. Let us catch up with the pre-match discussion tomorrow. That is going to be live on YouTube.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our channel Arsenal Bangalore on YouTube, where you can catch all the pre, post and halftime analysis of the game. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram for all the updates.